So this particular experience would have been back in about 2013. At that time, we were documenting outbreaks of this brown planthopper, this terrible problem for rice production in the region.
This is Finbar Horgan, a research fellow from the School of Life Sciences at the University of Technology, Sydney. Finbar's main line of research looks at plant-insect interactions and the use of pesticides. And right now, he's talking about his work in the agricultural fields of Sri Lanka.
I mean, I remember watching farmers bending over to fill their canisters and another farmer coming by and just spraying them in the face.
Spraying them in the face with what?
With pesticide, because they're walking up and down the field spraying while the other one is filling the can. There's a lack of
unconsciously doing that?
Unconsciously, yeah. They're not aware of the dangers. They're not aware of the dangers. There has been studies. I remember one in particular in Ecuador with potato producers that was very interesting, where they put dyes. So a kind of an ultraviolet dye was put into the pesticide, and then afterwards they would photograph people to look at where the residues were, and people had it running from their nose and running from their mouth and, you know, all over their hands. So, you know, people just aren't aware of the potency, the danger of the pesticides, and you know, and how easily it gets on them. I remember another time myself driving a product from, you know, in Ireland, you know, driving from one part of the country to another, and Ireland is small, and coming out of the other end, and all my face was peeling. You know, so these are very dangerous products.
Why can pesticides be bad?
Pesticide has an interesting effect on some insects, where it actually increases their reproductive capacity. So instead of killing them, you get an increase in reproductive output. They eat more. They disperse more, and in Asia, the insects that we were most interested in, which was one called the brown planthopper, causes hundreds of thousands of hectares of damage to rice because of pesticide.
Why? What is happening with the pesticide and the insect to accentuate its reproductive rate?
The ecological reason for it is that because the insect knows it's stressed, so the population is stressed, it then knows there's a stressor, and it reacts by trying to produce more offspring. This is not something that's just in insects. It actually was first discovered in sponges, in sea sponges. It's a thing called hormoligosis. And it also occurs, for example, in some plants. So, for example, beans. It's very well known that if beans are attacked by insects, they produce more. We call that overcompensation. The plant is saying, I'm in trouble, something is attacking me, I'm going to produce more offspring. So the same thing happens with insects.
What's in pesticides most of the time?
Mainly neurotoxins.
What's neurotoxins?
So neurotoxin will actually stop neural transmission in insects. So these are quite potent. Now, many of them would have been banned. Now, I mean, a lot of the most potent pesticides are being banned. But there are things like synthetic pyrethroids, which are like similar to a defense that plants have. There are growth hormones in things like juvenile hormone, which don't allow the insect to properly grow and develop. So there are a whole load of things. I mean, the worst things would, of course, be the neurotoxins.
How might that have an effect on a farmer? Like, aside from just the short-term exposure that you had and it was burning your face and lips, like, what are some of the long-term health implications of being exposed to those sorts of chemicals on a daily basis?
Oh, I think they're severe. I mean, unfortunately, I think research into the consequences of pesticide overuse has diminished. I mean, this is something that we see. Funding doesn't seem to be going in that direction much anymore. As we become very much pro-industry in seeking funding for research. Firstly, of course, there's nauseas and things, and we've all gone through them. I mean, myself, because, you know, working in agriculture and visiting farms where I will come out with nausea, you know, vomiting or dizzy, it worries me. I mean, I don't know what the long-term consequences are, even my own health, and I avoid it very much. There are surprising things. So there was a study out recently, a couple of years ago, that showed that farmers in the United States, there was a link between pesticide use and depression among farmers. I remember talking to a farmer in Nicaragua in Central America who had bananas. And he spoke about how one of his children was born with the tongue stuck to his palate. Another had liver problems. He himself had problems. They went to court. They won against the company that was producing the nematicide, but they only got something like $50 per farm worker, even though they won the case. So, you know, we're talking about very powerful companies as well that are protecting the rhetoric around their pesticides. You know, they want people to think these are very essential products that we need. But they are dangerous. They're definitely dangerous.
You're part of a campaign to get a certification of no pesticides. Can you tell me a bit more about that? What's that? Where is that?
Okay, so normally what people see there's sort of two options. They say, okay, there's organic production and there's conventional. And conventional means using chemical fertilizers, chemical pesticides, transgenics, etc., industrial agriculture. Now, I see this dichotomy as a bit of a problem because organic agriculture is difficult to do.
What are some of these organic fertilizers? What are they?
Mainly they're mulches and you know, dung, for example. Cow dung would be used a lot. Decomposing materials would be used a lot. Chemical fertilizers then would be things like ammonia, urea, things that you can buy in an agricultural supply store. And when we interviewed farmers, we interviewed over 300 farmers in Sri Lanka recently, and we asked them what are their main problems. And their main problem is they cannot access organic fertilizers. They don't have the infrastructure around organic production. It's much easier to get chemical fertilizer. Now, if you get a chemical fertilizer, and remember in a country like Sri Lanka, that the government subsidizes chemical fertilizer. So straight away, the organic farmers are at a disadvantage, you know, because the organic farmer has no benefit in terms of using organic fertilizers, in terms of the economics of the organic fertilizer. Organic fertilizer would cost something like 20,000 Sri Lankan rupiah. And for the farmer, you know, after the government subsidy, will cost only a couple of thousand. So it's a huge amount of money that they're saving on fertilizer. So organic farming is difficult. Many farmers, when we ask them, you know, why you don't do organic or why did you stop doing organic agriculture, they will tell us, well, it was too hard. We couldn't source the products. We couldn't source fertilizers. We have a whole series of problems. And the reality is that you put on fertilizer, you do increase yield. But we don't see the same thing with pesticides. You put on pesticides, you don't get an increase in yield. And we've done several experiments now in rice where there's no increase in yield. So all that pesticide is basically a contaminant. The organic movement is a conventional sort of scapegoat for conventional farmers, you know, it's because they'll say, oh, you can't do organic. You can never produce enough. It's difficult. We'll go conventional. Well, what I'm saying is we need to get something in the middle ground that says, let's go pesticide free. Use nitrogen because, yeah, it's obvious. You apply fertilizers, you'll get more yield. That's fine. But let's get rid of the pesticides. One of my colleagues did an experiment with thousands of farmers in Vietnam where he said to the farmers, you know, please grow half of your rice field using your conventional method and the other without pesticides. Everything else the same, but no pesticide. And none of those farmers saw any gain from the pesticide. So what I'm saying is if we can certify that products are chemical-free, this will be a huge advance, a huge advance.
To look at a place like Sri Lanka or a number of these Asian countries in which you're referring to, the reason that aside from, you know, governmental subsidy to use pesticides, is another reason that they might have initially started using them in the first place is because these are subtropical regions. They have like an inundation of pests that might be around. Is that a factor at all? Or
we have tried to trace why farmers produce rice either organically or conventionally and why they use pesticides. And it was surprising for us. I mean, farmers, we often tend to think that farmers are producing rice organically because they have some compassion towards the environment. The reality is their main reason in Sri Lanka for producing organic rice is health. They are worried about their health, and many of them are consuming some of their own product. They don't want to consume product that has pesticides. On the other hand, when we ask farmers who are growing rice conventionally, why are they using pesticide? Why do they not think they could grow it without pesticide? They say, we are using modern varieties.
What does that mean, really?
So a high-yielding variety, I mean, if you go back to, and this goes back to the Green Revolution, so back in the 1960s when you know, scientists said, well, we are going, you know, rice produces a low amount of grain. So and a rice field back then would have produced 1.5 to 2 tons per hectare of rice. Now you can get certain varieties that are producing 8-9 tons per hectare. So that's a huge advantage. The problem, and a lot of people go straight to the Green Revolution and point the finger at the Green Revolution for this, is that very early on, the private sector got involved. And the private sector said, okay, now you have high-yielding varieties, you also need pesticides, you also need fertilizer. In fact, fertilizer you do need, because you cannot produce high yields in high-yielding varieties without applying fertilizer. But you don't need pesticides. So the message has got through. I mean, this is, now you're talking about nearly 60 years of Green Revolution. So farmers have been indoctrinated that the varieties that they are growing need pesticide. So when we talk to organic farmers, it's very interesting as well, and we ask them, what varieties are you growing? 90% are using traditional varieties, because they believe if they grow, even in an organic field, if they grow modern varieties, they'll get problems with insects and disease, etc. But that's not true, because we've done the experiments, you know, we've done experiments, intensive experiments with high-yielding varieties. We don't use pesticides, and we don't have problems.